Jag ska bara plocka fram den här också.
Hej. Ska jag göra det en gång till. I Stockholm brukar man säga lite högre. Hej. Tack. Tack. I have been living in Sweden for about 30 years actually.
Jeg har boet i Sverige i cirka 30 år faktisk.
And another half of my life I was living in the United States.
Den første halvdel af mit liv boede jeg i USA.
So I'm part Swedish and part American or Texan.
Jeg er halv svensk, halv texaner.
Texana. Yes. That's right. But I understand some Danish. I understand maybe half or less of what you're saying.
Jeg forstår lidt dansk.
Ja. So I'm sorry that I can't speak Danish all the way. I was trying to open that on something, but we'll do it later.
Beklager, jeg ikke kan tale helt flydende dansk.
Hasse asked me to share a little bit at the beginning about my own background, my own testimony.
Hasse bad mig om i starten at fortælle min egen vidensbyrd, hvis det er okay.
So I will just share a little bit with you of where I come from.
Så jeg vil dele lidt om min egen baggrund.
I grew up on a small farm or ranch in Texas.
Jeg voksede op på en lille gård i Texas.
And small means it was about 20 hectares, I think.
Og lille i Texas, det er omkring 20 hektar.
Yeah, 20 something. And we had a few horses. What? Yeah, okay. We had a few horses.
Vi havde nogle heste.
And dogs.
Og nogle hunde.
And as a child, I grew up with pets of many, many different kinds.
Og som
lots
barn voksede op med mange forskellige kæledyr.
And what I'm about to say is the truth.
Og det jeg siger nu er sandhed.
I've had two pet alligators.
Jeg har haft to kæle-alligatorer.
Small ones, yeah.
Små.
One pet skunk.
En kæle-stinkdyr.
Mm. A raccoon, tvetbjørn.
En vaskebjørn.
Yeah, yeah. A goat.
En ged.
A goat. Let me see what else. Dogs, lots of dogs.
Masser af hunde.
No cats.
Ingen katte.
Yeah, that's about. Oh, yeah, snakes. Snakes.
Jeg har også haft slanger.
Yeah, yeah. I had about two or three pet snakes.
Jeg havde to eller tre kæleslanger.
So I grew up on a farm.
Så jeg voksede op på en gård.
As a farm boy. Are there any farmers in here?
Er der nogen landmænd her i aften?
All right. We got one right there. Good, good, good. So I know what it feels like to feed the animals and cut the hay and
Jeg har prøvet alt det her med at give dyrene mad og arbejde med hø og så videre.
I'm one of those guys when I walk into a barn, I actually like the smell. It makes me feel at home.
Ja, jeg er sådan en af de der fyre, når jeg kommer ind i en lade, så kan jeg faktisk lide lugten. Jeg føler mig hjemme.
It's funny. But where I grew up in Texas, there were lots of churches.
Der hvor jeg voksede op i Texas, var der mange kirker.
And a lot of people would call themselves Christians.
Og mange ville kalde sig selv kristne.
But I did not call myself a Christian.
Men jeg kaldte ikke mig selv kristen.
And my family did not go to church maybe more than once a year.
Min familie gik stort set aldrig i kirke.
So it's what we would call Christian in name only.
Så vi var hvad man ville kalde kristne af navn.
But basically their lives, my mother and father were living totally outside of fellowship with God.
Men i bund og grund så levede mine forældre fuldstændig uden for fællesskab med Gud.
And my father had a problem that many men had in the area I grew up in.
Min far havde et problem, som han delte med mange andre mænd i det område, jeg voksede op i.
He was an alcoholic.
Han var alkoholiker.
And he was, how do you say it? Alcoholics are on different levels.
Alkoholiker kan man måske være på forskellige niveauer.
He was on the deepest or highest level of an alcoholic.
Han var absolut topscorer.
So that means that he would sometimes be drunk for months at a time.
Det betød, at han nogle gange var fuld non-stop i måneder.
And because we had a stable income through my mother,
og fordi vi havde en stabil indkomst gennem min mor,
then he was not in the street, but he was in a home and he was able to live.
Endte han ikke som hjemløs i gaden, men han blev i hjemmet.
And then when he would end those times, he would have delirious what do you call the illusions afterwards.
Så i de her lange alkoholiserede perioder, så vil han have hallucinationer.
And usually have to spend 2 to 3 weeks in a hospital or some institution after that.
Og typisk måtte han på sådan en efterfølgende rehabilitering i 2-3 uger på et hospital eller en institution.
And then he would come back and he would be normal again.
Og så ville han komme tilbage og være normal igen.
And he worked as a businessman.
Og arbejdede som forretningsmand.
He worked together with my mother.
Arbejdede sammen med min mor.
He worked as a rancher.
Og han arbejdede som en
farmer. And he was a wonderful father.
Og han var faktisk en fin far.
Amazing, strange way to grow up.
mærkelig måde at vokse op på.
But it usually happened about twice a year that we would have these periods.
Men typisk to gange om året ville vi have sådan en periode.
And then in between those times he would drink in secret, you know, hiding the bottles here and there.
Og så i mellemtiden der ville han drikke hemmeligt og gemme flaskerne rundt omkring.
And it's like it did something to me, I think, in my own life that made me grow up a little too fast, maybe.
Det fik nok mig til at vokse op lidt for hurtigt.
Ran away from home a couple of times.
Løb hjemmefra et par gange.
It was just crazy. Crazy,
crazy. Faktisk skøre tider.
But as a teenager, God began to get a hold of my life.
Men som teenager begyndte Gud at gøre noget i mit liv.
And I think the best picture for that is him putting his hand in your heart and grabbing it.
Jeg tror det bedste billede jeg kan give det er at Gud tog sin hånd ind i mit hjerte
like
og holdt fast
Paul
i det.
Paul said in Philippians 3 that God took hold of me.
Ligesom Paulus han siger i Filipperne 3 at Gud han tager fat
and
i dig.
I remember over a series of weeks that I could not shake the thoughts about God in my mind.
Og når Gud havde grebet mig, så kan jeg huske, at i flere uger efter, så kunne jeg simpelthen ikke slippe den her tanke om Gud. Den blev ved med at være i mine tanker.
It's like he was hunting me.
Det var som om han jagtede mig.
Like a dog, a hunting
ligesom
dog.
En jagthund.
We had hunting dogs.
Vi havde jagthunde.
And when a dog gets on your trail, they will not let go. They won't stop.
Og når hunden får færden af sit bytte, så bøjer den ikke ud.
It felt like God was on my trail.
Det virkede som om Gud han var på sporet af mig.
And he was right behind me, barking.
Han lige bag mig.
And I remember because of that feeling I began to go to church myself.
På grund af den her oplevelse, den her følelse, så begyndte jeg selv at gå i kirke.
Now I did not have a driver's license, but I drove to church in my little pickup truck.
Altså jeg havde ikke et kørekort, men jeg kørte til kirke i min pickup truck.
And I went for 3 Sundays.
Og jeg tog afsted 3 søndage i træk.
And then I during the week I was at home practicing for American football. I used to play American football as in high school.
I løbet af ugen så var jeg hjemme og øvede mig til fordi jeg spillede American football i high school.
And I was training and I remember I was by myself.
Og jeg kan huske, jeg var der alene.
And it's like I felt God was upon me or he was pulling at me that I must make a decision to follow him.
Og jeg havde sådan en oplevelse at Gud var over mig, at han trak i mig, at jeg skulle tage en beslutning om at følge ham.
And so I finally prayed a very very simple prayer.
Så til sidst så bad jeg en meget meget enkel bøn.
And this was the prayer.
Og det her var bønnen.
Okay God.
Okay Gud.
I'll do it.
Jeg gør det.
That's what I prayed.
Det var det jeg bad.
That's how I became a Christian.
Sådan
I prayed that prayer.
Bad sådan.
Okay God, I will.
Okay Gud, jeg gør det.
And basically what I was saying is that yes, I will begin walking with you. I'll be doing the stuff you want me to do.
Og det jeg mente når jeg sagde det, det var ja, jeg vil begynde at gå sammen med dig. Jeg vil begynde at gøre de ting som du vil have mig til at gøre.
And so then I went to the church again on the fourth Sunday.
Så da jeg den fjerde søndag kom i kirken igen.
And I walked up to the front after the service.
Og gik frem foran efter gudstjenesten.
And I told the pastor that I wanted to be a Christian.
Fortalte jeg præsten at jeg ville være en kristen.
And so he helped me. I got baptized.
Og han hjalp mig. Jeg blev døbt.
And then I began to grow as a disciple of Christ.
Og jeg begyndte at vokse som en disciple.
So I just wanted to share a little bit of that story with you that God, he searches for us like a hunting dog.
Så jeg vil gerne dele den historie at Gud han er på færden af os ligesom en jagthund.
And once he gets his hand on your heart, he does not let go.
Og når han griber dit hjerte, så giver han ikke slip.
And sometimes even after we say yes to him,
og selv nogle gange efter vi har sagt ja til ham,
we pull away.
Så vil vi forsøge at trække os væk.
But he doesn't let go.
Men han giver ikke slip.
He's going to pull back.
Han vil forsøge at trække tilbage igen.
And help you back into that place of fellowship with him.
Og hjælpe dig tilbage til det sted med fællesskab med ham.
But just to share a little bit more of my story, after becoming a Christian, I felt the Lord began to show me that he wanted to use me.
For lige at fortælle lidt mere om min historie, så efter jeg blev kristen, så havde jeg en oplevelse, at Gud viste mig, at han ville bruge mig.
And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later tonight in connection with prayer.
Og jeg vil fortælle lidt mere om det senere i aften i forbindelse med bøn.
But in the first part of my story, I'm being drawn to God, or he's pulling me toward him.
Men i den første del af min historie, der er det Gud, der griber mig og trækker mig mod sig.
But after I got to know the Lord a little bit,
men efter jeg begyndte at lære Gud lidt at kende,
he began sending me out
to others. Så var det ham, der begyndte at sende mig ud til andre.
And I remember the first person I ever said anything to about God.
Jeg kan huske den første, jeg nogensinde sagde noget som helst om Gud til.
His name was Jimmy.
Hans navn var Jimmy.
He was 2 years younger than I was.
Han var 2 år yngre end mig.
And I remember that I was so nervous when I was going to talk to him.
Og jeg kan huske, jeg var så nervøs, når jeg skulle snakke med ham.
I gave him a ride in my pickup truck.
Jeg gav ham et lift i min pickup.
I had no driver's license.
Jeg havde ikke noget kørekort, som sagt.
Waved at the police as we drove by.
Vinkede til politiet, når vi kørte.
My father had a cafe.
Min far havde en café.
And I used to serve coffee to the police.
Og jeg serverede altid kaffe til politiet.
There were only two police in our whole area.
Der var kun to politifolk i vores hele vores amt.
And I knew them both.
Og jeg kendte dem begge godt.
And they had said that it's okay that I drive on certain streets and so.
Og de har sagt at jeg godt måtte køre på bestemte gader uden kørekort.
They told me where I could drive, but I couldn't get on the main highway, the fast highway. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Ja, jeg måtte ikke køre ud på de store motorveje, men jeg skulle blive en by.
But I remember driving with Jimmy.
Jeg kan huske, jeg kørte med Jimmy.
And I invited him to church.
Og inviterede ham til kirke.
Now that doesn't sound like much.
Og det virker måske ikke så meget.
But it's the first time I ever opened my mouth to another person about being a Christian.
Men det var første gang, jeg nogensinde åbnede min mund og fortalte, at jeg var kristen.
And inviting them to come with me to the place where I went to church.
Og inviterede dem til at komme med mig til det sted, hvor jeg var i kirke.
That doesn't sound like much.
Det lyder måske ikke meget.
But for me, it was a big step.
Men for mig var det et stort skridt.
And I felt a joy that was amazing.
Jeg følte en fantastisk glæde ved det.
I will never forget that.
Jeg husker det som var det i går.
After Jimmy got out of the truck.
Efter Jimmy gik ud af truck.
I remember doing like this and putting a 1 on my windshield on the car.
Så slikkede jeg på fingeren og så skrev jeg 1 på mit
bagspejl. This is the first time and I'm going to keep doing this.
Det her, det var første gang jeg bliver ved med.
I'm going to keep speaking to people about Jesus.
Jeg vil blive ved med at fortælle folk om Jesus.
And about coming to God.
Og om at lære Gud at kende.
And following him.
Og følge ham.
So I've been doing that for a long time since then.
Så nu har jeg så gjort det mange år efter.
And that eventually led to understanding God's call to be a pastor and to preach and to serve him in the church.
Senere hen ledte det til at følge ham i kaldet til at være præst og leder og tjene kirken.
So there's a path to the Lord, an arrow toward the Lord as he pulls us to himself.
Så der er en pil mod Herren, når han griber os og drager os mod sig.
And there's an arrow outward where he sends us.
Og så er der en pil der går ud af, når han sender os ud for at tjene andre.
I want to kind of start the teaching series tonight with sharing about Moses' life.
Jeg vil gerne starte vores undervisningsforløb den her weekend med i aften at dele om Moses' liv.
And there's a verse in the second book of Moses in Exodus chapter 33.
Og der er et vers i den anden Mosebog kapitel 33.
And it's I have to open my Bible to the right place again. It's verse 11.
Og det er vers 11.
I believe it is. I can't quite see this clearly.
Kan du holde den her?
I'm
jeg har også glemt mine briller.
I can't. My arms are too short.
I have the same problem.
Is that verse 7 or 11? That's 7, isn't it? That one right there. Is that a 7? 7. Thank you.
The verse 7?
Yeah, verse 7. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each one would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone out into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak with Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. It's a long section, verse 7 all the way through I think 12.
Moses plejede at hente teltet og slå det op uden for lejren i god afstand fra den. Han kaldte det åbenbaringsteltet. Hver gang nogen søgte råd hos Herren, gik han ud til åbenbaringsteltet uden for lejren. Og hver gang Moses gik ud til teltet, stillede hele folket sig i hver sin teltåbning og fulgte Moses med øjnene, til han var kommet ind i teltet. Når Moses kom ind i teltet, steg skysøjlen ned og stod i indgangen til teltet, og Herren talte med Moses. Når folket så skysøjlen stå i indgangen til teltet, rejste de sig alle sammen, og de kastede sig ned hver i sin teltåbning. Og Herren talte med Moses ansigt til ansigt, som det ene menneske taler med det andet. Derpå vendte Moses tilbage til lejren. Den unge mand, Josva, Nuns søn, der var i hans tjeneste, veg ikke fra teltet.
What I want to share is that this is before the temple or the tabernacle were ever built.
Det her, det er alt sammen noget, der sker før at tabernaklet nogensinde blev bygget, altså det telt, som vi kender.
Now you can read about the tabernacle in verses before this chapter.
Altså du kan læse om tabernaklet tidligere i kapitlet.
In chapter 25, God gives Moses the instructions about building the tabernacle.
I tidligere kapitler, kapitel 25, giver Herren Moses instruktioner om, hvordan han skal bygge tabernaklet.
And in the end of Exodus, we read about how the tabernacle is built.
Og i slutningen af den Mosebog læser vi så om, hvordan det blev bygget.
But this is like insight into the life Moses had with God before it was finished, before
men,
the tabernacle
was finished. Men her der får vi sådan et smuk kig ind i Herrens liv sammen med Moses, før tabernaklet blev bygget.
Moses had brought the people out of Egypt.
Moses havde ført folket ud af Egypten.
And it's one of the first things that God told Moses to do.
Og det var en af de første ting Herren sagde til Moses, han skulle gøre.
But Moses took a tent and he put it on the outside of the camp of the people of Israel.
Moses han tog det her telt og han satte det uden for Israels folks lejr.
Now at this time there was no organization to the camp of Israel. They were not divided up very neatly into groups.
På det her tidlige tidspunkt var Israels folk ikke organiseret i forskellige grupper.
So it probably seemed kind of chaotic in the camp.
Så hele lejren har sikkert virket ret kaotisk.
And Moses wanted to get away privately, so he found a place outside of the camp.
Så derfor ville Moses gerne ud et privat, fredeligt sted, så han fandt et sted uden for lejren.
Now this camp is large.
Og lejren er jo stor.
Most Bible scholars believe there could be up to a million people or more than a million people in this camp.
De fleste teologer er enige om, at der har været mindst en million jøder i den her lejr.
And so we have the understanding that Moses would go out to the tent and he would speak with the Lord and the Lord would speak with him.
Så vi forstår her at Moses han går ind i teltet uden for lejren og taler med Herren.
And I just think that is such a beautiful picture.
Og jeg synes det er et meget smukt billede.
Is it the Lord speaking with Moses and Moses speaking to the Lord face to face?
At Moses og Herren taler med hinanden ansigt til ansigt.
And I would like to suggest to you that is the beginning or the very very the primary picture of prayer that God wants you to see.
Og jeg vil gerne foreslå jer at her ser vi begyndelsen på den grundlæggende tanke om hvad bøn er.
On a personal level,
på et personligt plan,
and also on a corporate level.
Men også på et fælles plan.
That it is speaking with the Lord, communicating with the Lord face to face.
At bøn er at tale med Gud, kommunikere med Gud ansigt til ansigt.
In his presence.
I hans nærvær.
And what's beautiful in this story is that it says if you continue to read that when he came out of that tent after speaking with the Lord.
Og det som er så dejligt ved den her historie, hvis man læser videre, så ser man at når han kommer ud af teltet efter at have talt med Herren.
It says that his face shone like it was glowing.
Så står der at hans ansigt lyste.
You can read that in the book of Exodus there.
Det kan du læse efterfølgende i anden Mosebog.
The people, it was so obvious that his face was glowing that it scared the people.
Og det var så tydeligt at hans ansigt lyste at det skræmte folket.
And so he put a veil in front of his face. He hung a veil in front so that the people wouldn't be scared.
Så han endte faktisk med at hænge et slør over sit ansigt, så folk ikke skulle blive skræmte.
Now in the New Testament it tells us a little more information.
Nye Testamente fortæller os lidt mere information.
There was another reason that he hung that veil there.
Der var faktisk en anden årsag til at han hang det her slør foran sit ansigt.
Because after a while it stopped glowing.
Fordi efter et stykke tid så holdt hans ansigt op med at lyse.
It faded away or it faded.
Lyset forsvandt gradvist.
Until he went back to be with and talk to the Lord.
Indtil han gik tilbage og talte med Herren.
And then his face shone again.
Og så lyste hans ansigt igen.
There's amazing lessons in that.
Der er nogle fantastiske lærdomme i det her.
One of those lessons is that we our relationship with God is what we call in Swedish färskvara. What's that? Fresh produce. It's fresh. a fresh food.
Så vores relation til Herren er frisk mad.
Do you understand what I mean?
Forstår I, hvad jeg mener?
If you walk in the grocery store, you have a section where there's food that's not frozen.
Hvis I går ind i en grøntsagsbutik og så går ind til den afdeling, hvor det ikke er frostvarer.
It's fresh.
Det er friske varer.
It's alive.
Ferskvarer.
But it only lasts for a little while. You have to eat it pretty soon.
Når du køber det, så skal du spise det relativt hurtigt, for ellers bliver det dårligt.
The Lord taught Israel the same lesson later with the bread that he sent them. It could only be saved for a day or two. It had to be eaten.
Herren lærte Israels folk den samme lektie med brødet, som senere faldt ned fra himlen. Det kunne kun gemmes en dag eller to, så blev det dårligt.
You had to get new manna or new bread. The next day.
Du måtte få ny manna, ny brød den næste dag.
And Jesus himself said, I am the bread of heaven.
Og Jesus siger jo selv om sig selv, jeg er himlens brød.
It's a picture that our relationship with God is not something we can point to in the past.
Og det er et billede på, at vores relation til Gud er ikke noget, vi kan pege på som noget, der skete engang i fortiden.
And depend upon that only.
Og at være afhængig af det, der skete dengang.
But it is something for today.
Men det er noget friskt for dagen i dag.
A living relationship with him every day.
Det er et levende daglig relation med ham.
And sometimes we tend to think of the past and the things we've experienced with God.
Og nogle gange så har vi måske en tendens til at se tilbage i fortiden og de ting vi har oplevet med Gud.
But I think the Lord wants to constantly remind us today is the day.
Men jeg tror Gud han vil konstant minde os om i dag af dagen.
To go into your tent of meeting,
hvor du kan gå ind i dit mødetelt.
For you to have relationship with God face to face.
Og hvor du kan få relation til Gud ansigt til ansigt.
For us corporately to have relationship with God face
to face. For os som menighed, som kristen fællesskab at have relation med Gud.
I love thinking about the things of the past.
Jeg holder meget af at tænke på alle de dejlige ting jeg
har
oplevet
i fortiden. We have some great memories. I mean, from back in the early days when I remember Kalle Nulla.
Nogle af dem som jeg deler med Kalle fra den tidlige tid med Vineyard i Sverige.
And those things warm the heart.
Og det er ting man bliver varm i hjertet af at tænke på.
But they really aren't. How do I say it? They can't be eaten today.
Men,
you know what I'm saying?
Men det er faktisk alligevel ikke de ting du kan spise i dag.
We need new apples today.
Vi skal have nye æbler.
We need fresh bread from the Lord
frisk
today.
Frisk brød fra Herren i dag.
We need to meet him today.
Vi har brug for at møde ham i dag.
We need to hear him today.
Og høre ham i dag.
It's a living relationship.
Det er et levende relation.
Not just a historical.
Ikke bare en historisk.
Memory. Living relationship. So I think Moses for me is our first model or first model or example of a person walking with God, speaking to God face to face.
Så jeg tror Moses er den første model for os på at vandre med Gud og tale til ham ansigt til ansigt.
And what God told Moses was, I want you to not just have a tent out in the desert away from everybody.
Men det som Gud også talte til Moses om, var det var han sagde, jeg ønsker ikke bare at du skal have telt ude i ørkenen væk fra alle mennesker.
But basically what you have with me face to face, I want to put it in the very center of the community.
Men i bund og grund det du har med mig ansigt til ansigt, jeg vil placere det centralt midt i fællesskabet.
And I want everyone to know that they can have a face to face relationship with me.
Og jeg vil at alle skal vide at de kan have det her ansigt til ansigt relation med
mig. So if you read through the next couple of books in the Old Testament,
hvis du læser gennem de næste bøger i det gamle testamente,
it's very clear that the tabernacle, that tent or a tent like that tent was put in the very center of the camp.
Er det meget tydeligt at telt ligesom det her blev placeret midt i centrum af lejren.
And I think in order to connect the two, he called it exactly the same thing.
Og jeg tror for at hjælpe folk til at forstå forbindelsen kaldte han det nøjagtigt det samme.
Moses called his private tent, he gave it a Hebrew word, a Hebrew name.
Moses gav sit private telt et hebraisk navn.
It was Ohel Ma'id in Hebrew, Ohel Ma'id.
It was Ohel Ma'id.
Yeah, something like that. And it meant the tent where we meet.
Og det betød teltet vi mødes i.
The tent of meeting in
mødeteltet.
And so when God told him to build the tabernacle, he said I want it to be a tent, a place of living.
Så da Gud sagde til Moses han skulle bygge tabernaklet, så sagde han jeg vil at det skal være telt vi kan mødes i.
But I want you to call it Ohel Ma'id.
Og jeg vil at du skal kalde det Ohel Ma'id.
Just like yours out there.
Ligesom det du havde derude.
And I want it to be in the very center of my people.
Og jeg vil have at det skal være centralt i mit folk.
And he said, I want you to organize the camp differently as well.
Og jeg vil også, at du skal organisere lejren anderledes.
Right now it seems disorganized.
Lige nu er det fuldstændig kaotisk.
But I want you to gather the tribe of Levi and have them camp around Ohel Ma'id.
Men jeg vil, at du skal samle Levis stamme, og de skal så slå lejr omkring mødeteltet.
And then I want you to have all of the Levites put their tents facing the tent.
Og jeg vil alle levitter skal bygge deres telt, placere deres telt, så det har åbningen mod mødeteltet.
So the front door was open toward God's place of meeting.
Så hoveddøren i teltet var åben mod det sted, de skulle møde Gud.
A big circle, all the Levites.
Stor cirkel, alle levitter.
We don't know, but probably 100,000, 200,000, lots of tents.
Der kan være mellem 1 og 200,000 i levitstammen, så der er mange telte.
And then outside of that, you want to put all of the people of Israel.
Og udenom det område bliver resten af Israels folk placeret.
We're going to divide them up into four big groups.
Og de bliver delt op i fire store grupper.
Three tribes in each group.
Tre stammer i hver gruppe.
And I want you to have all of their tents facing the tent of meeting.
Og jeg vil at alle deres telte på samme måde skal have åbning mod mødesteltet.
And so what you have is a beautiful circular camp.
Så det du har er en smuk cirkulær lejr.
Everyone's attention, the front door is upon God.
Hvor teltåbningen for alle vender mod Herren.
Isn't that great?
Er det ikke flot?
And it speaks to us about something. The Lord was using that to teach us about His people and His kingdom.
Og det taler til os og lærer os noget om Hans folk og Hans rige.
And we can talk more, but we don't have time to talk about all of this weekend.
Vi har ikke tid til at tale om alt det her den her weekend.
But in the very center or the very first object in that tent was called the ark.
Men det første objekt i det her mødetelt var kaldt arken.
And it represented the very throne of God.
Og det repræsenterede Guds egen trone.
In the Old Testament it's called the seat of mercy or the seat of the throne of grace.
I det gamle testamente blev det kaldt for nådes sædet.
And then all of the other objects in the tabernacle, there were only a few, but they were symbolizing aspects of that relationship with God face to face.
Der var ikke mange ting i det her tabernakel, men de ting der var, de symboliserede på forskellige måder aspekter af Gud.
And I want to suggest to you that the Lord wants us to see the church that way and to see our own lives that way.
Og jeg vil gerne foreslå jer, at Gud faktisk ønsker, at vi skal se på kirken og se på vores eget liv på samme måde.
That the very center of the church is the very throne of God himself.
At centrum i kirken, centrum i vores liv, er Guds trone.
It means that he is king, he is the leader, he is the Lord of us.
Det mener, at betyder, han er konge, han er lederen, han er vores herre.
And then our central focus in any church is to have a relationship individually and corporately with God himself.
Så det centrale fokus i enhver menighed må være at have både et personligt og også et fælles relation med Gud.
I usually use a whiteboard, but I'd like to try to do this on the computer, if that's okay, if you take the first one.
Jeg bruger et whiteboard nogle gange, men nu prøver vi lige at sætte det op her på computeren, tror jeg.
Yeah, go to the next picture. Very nice whiteboard.
Flot whiteboard.
A clean whiteboard. Is it working? I see it there, but I don't see it here. It'll get there in a minute. But basically what I want to show you is something that I've been living with very much in the last couple of years.
Jeg vil gerne vise jer noget, som jeg har levet meget i her de sidste par år.
And I feel like it's been exciting to see some of these truths.
Og jeg føler, at jeg selv er blevet meget opmuntret at se nogle af de her sandheder.
And it helps us to understand the bigger picture and where prayer fits into the picture.
Og det hjælper os til at forstå det store billede og hvordan bønslivet passer ind i det her billede.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about some principles of prayer and take a look at some more details about prayer.
I morgen vil vi snakke lidt mere om principper omkring bøn og se på nogle flere detaljer omkring
bøn. Tonight I wanted to share a larger picture with you so that you can see a context.
I aften der vil jeg bare gerne dele det store billede med jer, så I kunne se konteksten.
And I just want to use this picture here to, if you think of that first circle as the illustrated by the people of Israel.
Hvis I ser på den første cirkel illustrationen her som et symbol på Israels folk.
I mean the Levites and the people
altså
of Israel.
Levitterne.
Yeah. And then the next circle would be the larger camp of Israel.
Så vil den næste cirkel være den store lejr, hele Israels lejr.
And then the circle outside of that would represent the nations around them.
Everything else. Og cirklen udenom vil så repræsentere nationerne omkring Israels lejr.
We can take the next picture. At the very center of the Levites was a thing called the tabernacle.
I det centrale, den centrale cirkel var tabernaklet.
And I'm using the cross to illustrate the very throne of Christ himself.
Og jeg bruger korset for at illustrere, at der i centrum er Kristi trone.
Then I'm using a word communion there.
Og så bruger jeg ordet fællesskab.
But translated into Danish now, it means relationship with God.
Oversat til dansk betyder det fællesskab med Gud.
It means fellowship, it means relationship, it means intimacy with God.
En relation, intim relation med Gud.
It means oneness with God.
Enhed med Gud.
And that is what the primary purpose of the tabernacle was to show us and teach us about our relationship with God.
Og det var det primære formål med tabernaklet, det var at vise os og lære os om vores relation til Gud.
And of course I'm using the cross as that symbol for the center.
Og det er selvfølgelig korset der symboliserer det.
And then the next purpose I want you to see that the larger circle, if you take the next picture please, there's a word community.
I det næste cirkel der er ordet fællesskab, community.
That God's calling was not just to himself but also for them to be a community of people that worship him.
At Guds kald var ikke kun at de skulle have relation med ham, men også at de skulle have relation med hinanden.
And then the next purpose, if you take the next slide, is the word commission, which actually means what God's purpose is for the nations around his people.
Og det næste, den hedder commission. Det betyder egentlig befaling eller opgave. Og det handler om, hvad Guds formål er for den større sammenhæng.
It's where we get the word mission.
Det er der, vi får ordet mission fra.
Mission. Now, I need some water, I'm sorry.
There's some right here.
If you go to the next one, please. There is a calling of God to every nation and every person to come to him into communion with him.
Gud kalder enhver nation og enhvert menneske på jorden til at komme ind i fællesskab med ham.
And God usually uses the community to bring people to him.
Og Gud bruger som regel fællesskabet af kristne til at føre mennesker ind i fællesskab med ham.
So I want you to see that arrow as representing the path of a person beginning to follow Jesus.
Jeg vil gerne se, at I ser den her pil som den sti, det handler om det menneske, som begynder at følge Jesus.
And I would call that becoming a disciple.
Og jeg vil kalde det at blive en disciple.
And so in Alpha, for example, how many of you are familiar
mange
with Alpha?
Mange kender til Alpha-kurser.
Alpha? Most of you are? Okay. Ja. It says belonging comes before behaving, right? No, belonging, ja. Believing, behaving.
Der siger man, at rækkefølgen er at høre til, at tro og at forandre sig.
Usually people that are coming to Christ are brought first into the fellowship because of friends and relationships with us.
Ofte så bliver folk ført ind i fællesskab med Jesus gennem fællesskab med nogen af os.
And then they get to know Christ through that community and
that fellowship. Og gennem det fællesskab og gennem den relation får de en mulighed for at møde Jesus.
Not always, but that's a very normal
ikke altid,
way
men det er meget normal måde.
And what begins to happen when you come and come to know Jesus Christ is a thing that Romans calls confirmation. We're conformed to his image.
Og det som hvad hedder det, som sker, når vi kommer ind i mødet med Jesus, det er det, som det er, at vi bliver gradvist forvandlet.
Forvandling. We're changed. Something begins to change in us.
Der sker en forandring i os.
And that's what there's a movement today about spiritual formation. That's what it's about.
Og der er en stor bevægelse i dag, som handler om åndelig forandring, og det er
God
det, det handler om.
God is working in us to help us become more like him.
Gud, han arbejder i os, fordi han ønsker, at vi skal
ligne
ham mere.
He wants us to be.
Fordi han ønsker, at vi skal blive det, som han har skabt os til at være.
But just like me, when I was a young teenager, the Lord also began to send me out. And I'm going to take the next picture. There's another arrow. which I call collaboration. The word
Men
I call
ligesom,
collaboration.
Det var tilfældet for mig, da jeg var teenager, så vil Gud begynde at sende os i den anden retning.
He not only
i et samarbejde med ham.
Not only wants us to get to know him and to become part of his community.
Ikke alene ønsker han, at vi skal kende ham og blive en del af fællesskabet.
But he wants to give us grace and strength and understanding to begin working with him.
Men han ønsker også at give os nåde og styrke og forståelse, så vi kan begynde at samarbejde med ham.
In the community and in the rest of our lives in the world.
I det nære fællesskab, men også i resten af vores liv.
And those two lines I would call discipleship.
Og de to linjer til sammen vil jeg kalde for discipleskab.
It's following Jesus.
Det er at følge Jesus.
Getting to know the Father.
Og lære vores himmelske far at kende.
And then learning to collaborate with him, to work with him.
Og så lære at arbejde sammen med ham.
What I mean by collaboration, learning to pray for other people.
Når jeg taler om samarbejde, kunne jeg mene, at vi lærer at bede for andre mennesker.
Learning to hear the Lord's guidance and understand His guidance.
Lære at forstå, hvad det er, Gud siger til os.
Learning what your spiritual gifts are.
Opdage dine åndelige gaver.
Giving your time and your energy to serve others in the community.
Investere din tid og din energi i at tjene andre mennesker i samfundet.
And to represent Jesus in your world, wherever you work and wherever you live.
Og at repræsentere Jesus i din verden, der hvor du færdes.
Following him.
Og følge ham.
But the starting point, and or how do I say it, the goal and the starting point is communion with the Lord.
Men både målet og udgangspunktet er fællesskab med Gud.
It's the tent.
Det er teltet.
You with me? It's your tent.
Det er dit telt.
You just like Moses, you have a tent.
Du er ligesom Moses, du har et telt.
And you as a church, you have a tent.
Og som kirke har I et telt.
You have an ohel ma'id.
Vi har et ohel ma'im.
You have the tent of meeting in your life.
Vi har mødestedet, mødesteltet i vores liv.
And you have it in the church.
Og vi har det i kirken.
It's in the center of your camp.
Det er centralt i vores lejr.
And that's the birthplace of everything we call ministry.
Og det er fødestedet for alt som vi kalder tjeneste.
It's the birthplace of everything we call mission.
Og det er fødestedet for alt vi kalder mission.
It can't come from our own strength.
Det kan ikke komme fra vores egen styrke.
It can't come from our own plans and ideas only.
Det kan ikke kun komme fra vores egne planer og ideer.
It has to come from God working with us.
Det må komme fra Gud, som arbejder sammen med os.
And using us together.
Og bruger os sammen.
But it's born in the tent.
Men det er født i teltet.
And when we talk about prayer this weekend, I want you to think my life in the tent.
Og når jeg taler om bøn den her weekend, så vil jeg gerne at I tænker mit liv i teltet.
Our life in the tent.
Vores liv i teltet.
We are to come together in the tent.
Vi skal mødes i teltet.
But then we're to open the doors and go out.
Men så skal vi åbne teltdørene.
And serve in the community of God's people.
Og tjene i i det kristne fællesskab.
And also to serve in the larger world that God has sent us
men
to.
Men også i den større verden som Gud sender os ud.
I think that's exciting.
Og det synes jeg er begejstrende.
I think there's another line there. Yeah. The activities we usually connect in our minds with these things.
De aktiviteter vi kan bruge og forbinde i vores tanker med de her forskellige ting.
Is the word of God, the teaching and preaching of the word.
Det er inde i indercirklen Guds ord, altså undervisningen om Guds ord og Bibelen.
Prayer,
bøn,
worship,
lovsang.
Those things are symbolized very clearly in the tent.
De tre ting bliver symboliseret meget tydeligt i teltet.
And later in the temple.
Og senere i templet.
The things that we usually associate with the community aspect is serving and fellowship.
Og det som vi ofte forbinder med det kristne fællesskab, det er tjeneste og fællesskab.
Now understand that the community betjene. Includes the communion. It includes it.
Jeg er klar over at det at community, altså fællesskab, det er også inkluderet i det andet her.
The community is the community of people being conformed to the image of Christ and collaborating with God. It's those people.
Fordi det er det, fordi målet med det kristne fællesskab er jo også derinde at blive forandret af Jesus.
And the activity that I would say represents our commission is when we represent Christ in our world.
Og jeg vil sige her den yderste cirkel, den aktivitet som som viser vores kald og vores opgave, det er, at vi repræsenterer
Kristus. I'm just going to give you a small parenthesis there. We don't have time to teach on that.
Det har vi ikke rigtig tid til at undervise om.
But I believe representing Jesus in your world, it involves demonstrating his kingdom.
Men jeg tror at repræsentere Jesus i din verden, det involverer at demonstrere hans rige.
I believe it involves proclaiming and explaining his kingdom.
Det betyder at vi proklamerer, omtaler og forklarer hans rige.
And I believe it involves inviting to his kingdom.
Og det involverer at vi inviterer mennesker ind i hans rige.
Now, this has to do with the church and this has to do with our individual lives.
Det har noget at gøre med kirken, og det har noget at gøre med vores individuelle liv.
Churches can tend to focus on one of these three sometimes.
Og nogle gange kan kirker har en tendens til at fokusere mest på en af de her tre.
You understand me?
Er I med mig?
Sometimes we can be so focused on the worship and prayer and the word that we don't give any energy to the mission of the church.
Nogle gange kan vi være så fokuseret på Bibelen og bøn og lovsang, at vi ikke har noget fokus på missionen.
But God's intention is that our focus here will drive us to his mission.
Men Guds tanke er, at vores fokus her på en naturlig måde vil lede os ud i missionen.
And I've seen it actually many, many times throughout my life.
Jeg synes, jeg har set det mange gange igennem mit liv.
Where we can be so mission-minded that we sort of forget the tent.
Omvendt, at vi kan være så fokuseret på mission, at vi har en tendens til måske at glemme teltet.
Or that we get so tent-minded that we forget the mission.
Eller vi bliver så fokuseret på teltet, at vi glemmer missionen.
So let's learn how to meet God in the tent.
Så lad os lære hvordan vi møder Gud i teltet.
And let him send us out to the community and to the world.
Og lad ham sende os ud til samfundet, til verden.
And some of you are going to be part of a new church plant.
Og nogle af jer der sidder her er en del af en ny kirkeplantning.
These are things that are involved in the vision of a church plant.
Og det her det er jo grundlæggende visioner for at plante menighed.
We exist to call people to Christ.
Vi eksisterer for at kalde mennesker ind i Kristi nærvær.
Help them become part of his community.
Hjælp dem til at blive en del af hans fællesskab.
Help them get to know Christ.
Lære mennesker Jesus at kende.
And then help them learn to work with him.
Og så lære dem at arbejde sammen med ham.
And to be sent out to serve in the community and serve and represent him in the world.
Og blive sendt ud og repræsentere ham og tjene samfundet og tjene verden.
The vision of a church must include both arrows.
Visionen for en kirke må inkludere begge pile.
In whatever words you want to use.
Med hvilke ord I nu ønsker at bruge.
Yeah. Okay, can we take the next slide? There's three great commandments that fit in these areas as well.
Der er tre stærke befalinger som Jesus har givet os, som passer ind her.
We know that this one, the love of the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and your strength, that is Deuteronomy 5.
Vi ved at i 5. Mosebog og der er det blandt andet det her bud, du skal elske Herren din Gud af hele dit hjerte, hele din
Jesus
styrke.
Jesus said that was the big one.
Og Jesus sagde det er den primære.
There's nothing greater.
Der er ikke noget større.
He's pointing to the center again.
Det peger igen ind mod centrum.
Face to face with God, there's nothing greater.
Der er ikke noget større end at stå ansigt til ansigt med Gud.
And then there's the other one, love your neighbor.
Så er der den yderste her, elsk din næste.
Which Jesus helped us to understand what all of those people that he puts in our life.
Og Jesus hjælper os at forstå, at det handler om alle de mennesker, han sætter i vores liv.
And then in John 16, he gave us a new one, love one another.
Og så gav han os ny i Johannes 16, elsk hinanden.
Which is a specific command for the community of faith.
Som er en specifik befaling, et specifikt bud til det kristne fællesskab.
To love each other.
Til at elske hinanden.
Care for each other.
Have omsorg for hinanden.
So, I just wanted to share this little overview with you tonight.
Jeg vil bare lige dele det her lidt med jer i aften.
And my prayer is that when you think of prayer, you'll think of the tent.
Min bøn er, at når I tænker på bøn, så tænker I på teltet.
But when we look at prayer a little more closely tomorrow, that we'll understand praying is not only worshiping him and adoring him.
Men når vi ser lidt nærmere på bøn i morgen, så vil vi forstå at bøn er ikke kun at tilbede og ophøje ham.
But it's also joining with him to pray for his purposes to be accomplished.
Men det er også at slå fællesskab med Gud, bede for de formål han har.
With me? Prayer has two arrows.
Bøn har på samme måde to pile.
When we prayed for Søren and Lisa tonight, we're standing with God praying.
Da vi bad for Søren og Lisa i aften, så står vi sammen med Gud og beder for dem.
When you are praying for your needs, You're on the arrow inward. You
with me? Når du beder for dine egne behov, så er det pilen der går ind mod Gud.
Lord, I need help with my finances. I need help with my health.
Gud, jeg har brug for hjælp med mine penge. Jeg har brug for hjælp med mit helbred.
I need help with this relationship.
Eller hjælp til den her relation.
I need help with the finding a new home.
Jeg har brug for din hjælp til at finde et nyt hjem.
That's the arrow looking into the throne.
Det er pilen der bevæger sig ind mod
coming to the
tronen.
Throne of grace, as it says in Hebrews 4.
Hvor vi kommer til nådens trone.
So that we can receive help in time of need.
Så vi kan modtage hjælp når vi har behov.
But God wants us even then when we are in need to turn with him and to focus outward.
Men selv der hvor vi har behov, der ønsker Gud også at vi skal slutte os sammen med ham og vende os og bede mod det som har fokus ud af.
And the strange thing is that God never meets all your needs before he wants you to turn around. We are needy people turning around.
Det mærkelige det er at Gud møder aldrig alle vores behov før han vil have vi skal vende om. Vi er mennesker med behov.
You can't wait until everything is perfect in your life before you focus outward.
Man kan ikke vente til alt er perfekt i ens eget liv før man begynder at fokusere udad.
Because you'll never turn outward.
Fordi så kommer du aldrig til at vende udad.
And I meet too many Christians that are so absorbed in their own needs.
Og jeg møder for mange kristne der er så fokuseret på deres egne behov.
That we don't have energy or room in our hearts to actually pray for his kingdom to come.
Så vi ikke har energi eller plads i vores hjerte til rent faktisk at bede om at hans rige må komme.
In Burma.
I verden.
In Bornholm.
På Bornholm.
Or in Sweden.
Eller Sverige.
Or in your workplace.
Eller på dit arbejde.
Or in your family.
Eller din familie.
Praying for his kingdom to come, his will to be done.
Bede om hans rige må komme og hans vilje måske.
So what I'm saying, both things are right.
Så det jeg siger er at begge ting er rigtige.
We must come to God with our needs.
Vi må komme til Gud med vores behov.
He wants us to.
Det ønsker han.
He's a loving father.
Han er en far der elsker os.
But he's also the commander of the Lord's army.
Men han er også Guds riges hærs befalingsmand.
And he wants us to join him in his kingdom
vil,
advancing.
Vi skal slå os sammen med ham i at se hans rige bryde igennem.
Amen.
Amen.
Talked a long time tonight, but I wanted you to see the big picture.
Jeg talte meget, jeg vil så gerne, at I skal se det her store overblik.
And I'm not really sure how to end, but I want us to wait before the Lord just for a few minutes, if that's okay.
Jeg ved ikke lige, hvordan vi slutter, men jeg vil godt, at vi bare lige venter lidt inden for Herrens ansigt.
And why don't you just be open if you feel like the Lord gives you a picture or a word or something that he wants you to share with everyone shortly.
Og jeg tænker måske du kan bare være åben og hvis du føler Gud giver dig et billede eller et ord du skal dele kort, så kan du gøre det.
Then I want us to be open for that, okay?
Og det kunne jeg godt tænke mig at vi var åben for.
What I try to do during an evening like this.
Det som jeg prøver at gøre i sådan en aften som den her.
Is to listen for what has the Lord been saying to you? What is the most important thing he's been saying?
Det er at jeg prøver at identificere, hvad har Gud sagt til jer? Hvad er det vigtigste Gud har sagt til jer?
So I want you to help me listen.
Så lad os hjælpes ad med at lytte.
One thing I know is obvious.
En ting jeg ved er tydelig.
Is that the tent of meeting, we all need to examine ourselves when it comes to our tent of meeting.
At vi har alle sammen brug for at eksaminere os selv, når det kommer til vores mødetelt.
That we have somehow in our lives time or a way of having fellowship with God.
At vi alle sammen i vores liv sætter tid af til på en eller anden måde at have fællesskabet med Gud.
And maybe there's a few of us here tonight who feel a distance there.
Og måske vil der være nogen af os her i aften, som faktisk føler, der er en afstand der.
So I just want to encourage you, the Lord loves you.
Og hvis det er dig, så vil jeg opmuntre dig at sige,
He's
Herren
not
elsker
mad
dig.
At you.
Han er ikke vred på dig.
He just wants you to come into the tent.
Han vil bare, at du skal komme ind i teltet.
And look up in his face again.
Og se ind i hans ansigt igen.
He welcomes you with open arms.
Han byder dig velkommen med åbne arme.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Why don't we pray for that first?